I invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. This morning we're going to look at several different verses, and I'm going to try my best to either have those on the screen or in the comment section here on Facebook, if you're watching on Facebook. But either way, we'll try to have the recap of today's message for you so that you have it to use later on to be able to share with someone else. Today's message is for everyone, believer and unbeliever. It's for the believer because anytime we talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it speaks to our heart and gives us joy. And every time we speak of the joy of the Lord, it does something inside of us and helps us go on just one more day, knowing all the great promises that God has given to us. And this is also for those who might seem to be far from God. This message is supposed to be for your ears, a God-given appointed time where you're standing or sitting or looking right now and listening to this message, and this is God speaking to you. And if God were speaking to you, don't you think you'd take a moment, pause, and listen? That's what I want you to do today. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18 tells us this: "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He showed up at the airport without any luggage. He showed up at the airport without any teeth. He showed up at the airport with just the clothes on his back and the shoes on his feet, given a command from the churches in Africa to go to the United States, go to a seminary in St. Louis, and learn all that he could about the Bible, and return back to Africa and teach as many pastors as he could about all the truth that he discovered by studying the Word. He showed up on campus and lived in the dorm rooms with kids a third his age in the 60s by the time he came to seminary. And on one winter day, Augustine Mulawi stepped out of his dorm room, looked up into the sky, took off his coat, and stood there, arms stretched, eyes to the sky, giggling like a little child. A friend came by and said, "Augustine, what are you doing?" And Augustine said, "I finally know! Though my sins be as scarlet, they are white like snow." Oh, how I wish at times that I had the simple joy of people like that, that heard the truth and received it with such joy, a giggling, laughing happiness about the truth that they were hearing. And for you, the believer, who might be listening to this message, may you have the joy of the Lord as you hear the truth of what God has done for you. And for those who might be far from God, may you have the ears of those who can hear, the eyes of those who can see, and the heart of those who are receptive to hear God's truth. This morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the ABCs of the gospel, the ABCs of the good news. To begin with this morning, we're going to start with the letter A, acknowledge. Acknowledge. What do you have to acknowledge? You have to acknowledge that there is a problem. We are living in the days of space travel again. NASA working with SpaceX to send astronauts into space. And I'm reminded of one of the best lines to ever be spoken by an astronaut, other than "the eagle has landed." You know the phrase, Houston, we have a problem. Acknowledging means we look to heaven and we say, heaven, I've got a problem. And what is the problem? Well, it's tied to a key verse. It's found in the book of Romans in the New Testament. Romans chapter 3. For many of you, it's going to be perhaps familiar, but for some, I want to give you a second to go there, to read it for yourself, and to see it as plainly as you can in your Bibles, so that you know what I'm saying is true. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all, there's another A word, all have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the problem. Heaven, I've got a problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's a problem with the problem. And the problem with the problem is not everyone who I'm speaking to this morning believes that all have sinned. Especially if they view sin in the same way that the culture views sin. Culture views sin in these kinds of ways. They say there's sin, big sin, murder, adultery, stealing, you know, from a bank or something like that. Those are big sins. And then there are other sins, like little white lies and things, but we don't really count those things against us. It's the big stuff that really matters. So we think about it from culture's perspective. There are big sins, and then there's just other things that we do. That's not the biblical definition of sin. And then also, culture tells us that sometimes sin is justified. Well, I would not have normally done what I did, but they just did this and it made me do that. It's not my fault, it's their fault. We justify our sin. So the problem with the problem is not everyone thinks they've sinned. What is a sin, by the way? Well, Romans 3:23 tells us what a sin is. Sin is defined as having fallen short of the glory of God. You see, when you think about it this way, I think you and I will come to an agreement that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, if we suppose that God is real, and He is, by the way, then God to be God and not God to be the devil, God would have to be perfect in all that He is. Perfectly loving and perfectly kind and perfectly wise. Perfectly everything. Now, when I compare myself to the perfection of God, is there any day, any moment in my entire life where I have not been perfect? Any time in your life where you've been self-centered? Any time in your life where you've been just a little bit selfish? Any time in your life where you've disappointed someone you love because of something you did? Any time in your life where you've disappointed yourself? Now, if you said yes to those things, then don't you believe that you've missed the mark of being perfect like God is perfect? And so it would stand to reason that if you have lived a life of less than perfection, then you too have fallen short of the glory of God. Heaven, we have a problem. I'm not perfect. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do we move from A to B, so to speak? Believe. B, believe. A key verse for us with believe comes to us really from a story. And I'm going to talk about the story in just a moment, but let me first give you the verse. It comes to us in Acts 16:31. And again, I want to give you time to get to Acts 16:31 so that you can see it in your own Bible and you can put your finger down and follow along with me. Heaven, we've got a problem. And heaven shouts down, I see your problem. Here's the solution. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You and your household. Heaven, I got a problem. Heaven says there's a solution. Now, I want to spend just a second by talking about this verse, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, in its context. I want to talk to you a little bit about who is saying this verse and who they're saying it to. First of all, we recognize that this is an answer to our problem, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul and Silas are missionaries in the early church. The crowds have beaten them, have drugged them in the streets, have sought to kill them. Now they're in prison where they're being mistreated as well. Paul looks at a person, a Roman jailer, and says to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now I want to deal with the person he's talking to first, the Roman jailer. There's a few things about this jailer that we can come to know, all right? First of all, he has a bad background. He is a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's not someone that the people of God of that era would say deserve to hear that God has made a way of hope. They're outcast, they're separate, they're outside of God's redemption plan. Don't worry about telling them about Jesus. They don't deserve it. His background was bad. And I don't know about you this morning and what your background is like. You might be looking at me and saying, yeah, but you don't know about my parents. You don't know about me growing up. You don't know what happened to me. And you're right, I don't know. But I do know this. Even with a bad background, doesn't matter what you did in your 20s, doesn't matter what you've done in your 30s, doesn't matter what you did when you were 5 years old, it doesn't matter what your background is. Let me offer you the same words that Paul said to the Roman jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Bad background. The Roman jailer also had bad behavior. Roman jailers in the first century were seen as some of the most vile people in the world. They were barbarians, brutal in how they executed justice. And here this jailer, who is hated among even the low criminals, is looked at by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul says, yeah, you know what? The bad stuff you've done in the past, the bad behavior, and you might can list some things that you've done in your past that you say, well, I don't know if God can love a person like me, or I don't know if God can forgive a person like me. You want to know what? God says this to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. It's not just as bad background and his bad behavior. But think about the circumstances the Roman jailer is in today. An earthquake has just come upon the region. And the jail that Paul and Silas are in is no longer secured. Paul and Silas are able to escape. Under Roman law, if the jailer loses his prisoners and they escape, he will be put to death for allowing them to escape. Now the Roman jailer is suicidal, thinking about his being met with death at the hands of the Roman officials. His circumstances are pretty bad. Pretty bleak, if you would let me use that word. Pretty downright inescapable. In the middle of his circumstances, terrible as they might be, Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Now, I don't know your circumstances and I don't know how bad they might be, but I'm speaking into your life right now, whatever circumstances that might exist, and I'm saying this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and yes, you can still be saved. And I want you to think about who is saying these words to the jailer. Yes, the Apostle Paul, we lift up on a pedestal. He writes most of the New Testament for us. He is seen as the New Testament example of what it is to be transformed by Christ. But Paul the Apostle was once Saul the persecutor, going out and rounding up people who claimed the name of Jesus, throwing them into jail, putting them before a murderous mob of people who with stones to kill them, taking their entire family and throwing them in jail, destroying their way of making a living. He was going around and persecuting Christians. And Paul was so radically transformed because he believed in Jesus and he was saved. And Paul is saying, If you want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, know that it's true. He can save you because I was the vilest of sinners. I had a bad background too. I thought I had all it took to go to heaven. I was a good Jew. I was raised in a good, faithful home. I served and worked among some of the smartest Jews in the day. I thought I checked off all of the boxes, but that was all rubbish, garbage. It wasn't worth anything in comparison to my sin before God. It was of no account. I did some bad things. I persecuted followers of Jesus, rounded them up. I was there when some of them were killed. I had some terrible circumstances too, but through it all, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And notice the phrase that Paul uses, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is that Old Testament declaration for God Almighty. Jesus is the New Testament name given to us for the Savior. His name literally means deliverer, one who saves. Christ, not Jesus' last name, but it is a title as well. Messiah, Christ, anointed one. Who are you to believe in? Who are you to put your faith and trust in? Put your faith in the Almighty God of the universe, who will save, who is the one who is able to take away the sins of the world. Believe in Jesus. Now, there's a problem, you know. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The solution we now know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. And we believe in the Lord. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Christ. We believe in Him together. But God, the Bible says, sent His one and only Son to die on the cross, so that we who are sinners might be saved. And we say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know how all that works. How could someone like Jesus come and live a sinless life and save a person like me? Well, let me give you a little illustration. I have a pen here, and I have a little book here. And in this little book, what I'd like to do is think with you a minute, okay? Very quickly. Let's just say that you only fall short of God's glory once a day for the rest of the year, all right? Once a day for the year. And you sit down and you'd make a note every time you fall short of the glory of God. You know, you say, Today I was driving on I-95 and I was going the speed limit. Someone cut me off. I decided to, and then you fill in the blank what you did. And then the next day you have that other moment. You know, I was at the grocery store and a little old lady and I were on the bread aisle. There was a loaf of bread left. I realized I could outrun her, and so I maneuvered in front of her and took the last loaf of bread. She ate my dust. I'm not proud of it. You write down all of those things, one a day for a year, and in your little booklet at the end of the year, you will have written down 365 notes about your imperfection, your sins. All recorded in each and every page of that book. Do you know that at the end of your 25 years, just 25 years, that little big book becomes a pretty big book? And you can open it up and you can begin to read day after day, moment after moment. Even if we only included one a day, there would be 10,000 notes about you falling short of the glory of God. And so this is how it works. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are all the marks against us. All the weight, all the things written about us. All the sins, all the times we've fallen short. And here is Christ. And Christ is sinless, and He's perfect, and He's right in all that He does and all that He offers. And the Bible says that if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved. And when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that God Almighty accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross as being enough to pay the penalty for everyone who would believe. So I have my sin here in my hand. I can now take it and put it on Christ. Christ took the penalty of my sin, praise the Lord, on the cross. And the Bible says, in this weird way of it working, is He gave me His righteousness. So He took out all of the bad things inside of the book about me, all the wrongs I had committed. He took them, He ripped them out, He ripped them up, He paid the penalty on the cross for my sins, He inserted His righteousness in my book, things I could not earn, things I could not deserve, and He gives it to us. So that now, when God says, let me see the record of your sins, and it's opened up, there is no sin to be recorded. It has been paid on Jesus Christ's account. And now I stand before an almighty God, forgiven of my sins. I take my sins and give them to Jesus. Jesus gives me His righteousness. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might have the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. But our ABCs would not be complete unless we had a C. Heaven, we have a problem. I acknowledge there's a problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Heaven shouts down, yes, we see there's a problem. There's a solution. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. C, commit. Commit. We're not to believe in just our minds only. We're to commit to the truth. Commit to what Christ has done for us. Our key verse comes to us in the book of Romans. We turn back to that book, Romans chapter 10. Another familiar verse to you perhaps, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I want to give you time to get there so that you can put your finger on it and follow along. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me read it again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The verse is telling us that we don't just say it, we don't just confess it from our mouth, but we also have to believe it in our heart, meaning we have to go a step further from head knowledge or even saying it out loud. It has to penetrate who we are. We have to be committed to it, placed in our heart that He is the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the evidence, by the way, that this verse gives us that we can put our full weight and measure of trust that God will save us? That all this is true? Paul says, look to the risen Savior. He's the evidence that all of this is true. It's the evidence that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. How do I know it's true? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Signifying that God was pleased in the offer and the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ's shedding of blood on the cross. And that acceptance means that everyone who believes in Jesus, puts their faith in Him, can trust that they are saved. All because the Savior is alive and risen today. What are you committing to, by the way? You're committing to loving God because God loved you first. The Bible says, in that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us first. And now that I believe in Jesus and commit myself to Him, one of the things I'm committing to is to loving the Lord, serving the Lord, committing to giving my life over to Jesus and saying, Jesus, if You've taken care of the greatest need of my life, Houston, I have a problem. Heaven, I have a problem. Here's the solution. Believe in Jesus. And I commit to what God has offered for me on my behalf. Then I'm giving my all to the cause of Christ. Letting Him choose the direction of my life. And when things seem to take a detour, I'm going to be okay with it. It's not my life after all. Jesus has taken care of the greatest need of my life. He has saved my soul. If I go through a momentary pain here on earth, if I go through sickness here on earth, if I lose my finances, if I lose it all, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Because I know to hold on lightly, very lightly, to the things of this world, ready to give up anything and everything that these hands have worked for, everything that I love, everything that I dream about, I'm willing to give it up for the glory of Christ. For the cause of Christ. That's commitment. And that's the commitment that God's calling us to in salvation. Believe is the word the verse uses. But let me just remind you that James, the brother of Jesus, says that even the devil believes in God. What separates those who just believe or have written down good truths about who God is and have a good systematic way of thinking about it, and those who are really genuinely saved, is the difference of commitment. A few years ago, one of the more popular movies of the year, I think maybe 2016, I'm not really sure, but anyway, Martian. And this is not a endorsement of the movie or anything, but Martian was about these astronauts who go to Mars and they set up this little livable community, but there's a storm that comes that calls them to have to leave the planet and come back to Earth. And in the evacuation process, one of the astronauts is believed to have died. And so they leave him behind. But somewhere along the journey, he's able to set back up the communication system and send a message back to NASA that he is indeed alive. Now, here's the problem. There's no ship that can be sent into space to go rescue him. And the astronauts who did leave on their ship don't have enough fuel or food to turn around and go back and pick him up. But some very smart person at NASA does the math. And in doing the math, they realize that if they use the gravitational pull of Earth to slingshot the shuttle around Earth, they'll have just enough fuel and just enough food to go back and make a rescue attempt. And if they choose not to do it, then he'll die on Mars. So they did the math again. The math works out. But you know there's a lot on the line. Believing the math will work and doing what the math says we should do are two different things. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and committing to His path for us are two different things. It's the process in which God has called every person to surrender themselves to. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to commit your heart and life to Him and let Him direct your path. To commit to Him, no matter what happens, commit to Him your all. Say, well, how do you do all of that? Well, again, it's just the ABCs. You acknowledge heaven, I know I have a problem. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you commit to Him all that you are and all that you have. And you'll grow day by day in your faith. And soon there will be evidence of a transformation just like the Apostle Paul who was transformed. You might say a prayer similar to the one that I'm going to say. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I know that I need help. I believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross, and I believe He is able to save me. I commit now myself to you. I give you my all. I give you my everything. Lord, thank you for what Christ has done. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, then I invite you to reach out to us and let us know so that we can help you on your journey of faith. You can text the word DISCOVER to 703-590-5199. You can call that number and somebody will be happy to talk to you about faith in Jesus. We want to be there for you and with you, helping you to grow in your faith and learning more about who Jesus is. And as a believer, if you're watching this, I hope you've taken it with joy. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they are white as wool.